Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As America somberly remembers 9/11 this weekend, Vice President Mike Pence on Fox News Friday weighs in on the current administration's Afghanistan withdrawal failure.
It dishonored the memory of all of those who served and sacrificed defending our freedom over the last 20 years. And it also set aside the deal that President Trump and our administration had negotiated with the Taliban. Remember, I was in the Oval Office when the president spoke to Mullah Baradar right after we did the deal. And he said to him, we all want to end the violence, but you're not going to harm any Americans, you're not going to become a haven for terrorists, and you're going to work with the Afghan government. Or the president said, if you break the deal, we're going to hit you harder than we have ever hit you before. And you could tell from the tone on the other end of the call that Mullah Baradar knew he meant business.
USA Radio News.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
With President Biden's open border policy and the masses from South and Central America pouring into the United States, the million or so illegal immigrants, many unchecked, are bringing COVID-19 to our population. How many cannot be answered, as the government does not know. Now that Biden is making vaccinations mandatory to sections of our community, Republicans are going to bat for those who have health issues with vaccines and others who choose not to vaccinate, Dan Naraki reports.
The Republican National Committee says it will sue the Biden administration over the COVID vaccine mandates that the president announced on Thursday. In a statement, RNC Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel called the mandate unconstitutional and said that the RNC would sue when it goes into effect to protect Americans and their liberties. The president announced Thursday that all federal workers and contractors would be required to get vaccinated, along with new rules from the Department of Labor that would require employers with more than 100 employees to mandate vaccinations or perform weekly testing. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
President Biden on Thursday lectured America and then sauntered away from the lectern without taking one question from reporters.
This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you. I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. So please, do the right thing.
Science has proven time and time again, one size cannot fit all people, like this high school student on Fox News.
I was a sophomore in high school, and I was paralyzed from the waist down for over a month. I went to several different hospitals, and it was a long, extensive process for me. So when I found out that BYU Hawaii would be mandating this vaccine, I got together with my medical providers, and we decided that it would be best for me not to receive this vaccine because I do not want to relapse and have another episode of Guillain-Barré.
I'm Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Live.
And it's our objective, our plan and purpose, and thank you for joining in. It requires all hands on deck. We welcome you here to the Bill Martinez Show, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Dr. Wilfred Riley is with us, the professor of political science at Kentucky State University, author of Taboo, 10 Facts You Cannot Talk About. Dr. Riley, good to have you with us. How are you, sir?
Good. Good to be back on the show.
Well, this weekend, 9/11. A day that is weighing heavy, especially because of recent events. Jen Psaki made the announcement that the president will not give a live address. So you wonder if there will be something pre-recorded, something where he can demonstrate his leadership and take no questions. I guess that's what we can look forward to here. As the country's hearts continue to weigh heavy with Americans left in Afghanistan and not coming home right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good time to talk to people you know who served in the military and the armed forces. I mean, obviously, 9/11 is a tremendously symbolic anniversary every year. It led to major atrocity, led to one of our longest wars, and that's particularly the case this year because for whatever reason, obviously, we decided to pull out of Afghanistan just before 9/11. I mean, I suppose the original idea there was we would be out of this conflict on its 20th anniversary, and the Afghan government presumably would be in charge. Mm-hmm. But I mean, what actually happened is that the Taliban conquered the country in a week, and now they are intentionally, as a troll, if you will, they're doing their investiture ceremony on 9/11, and this will be televised on Al Jazeera and so on. So the enemy will be taking power on the 20th anniversary of the attack that, to some extent, they launched. So, I mean, that's a tough one for many people to deal with. Biden, I think, is doing a short, canned commentary on this. That is correct.
Right. Well, and the thing is that this worked out the exact opposite of what the president and this administration had expected, didn't it? I mean, it should have been America celebrating on the 20th anniversary, right? I guess that's what he envisioned somehow.
Yeah, I don't really understand the logic involved in this in the first place. That you would want to pull out of a country that, to a certain extent, we conquered, where we had only a skeleton force of troops remaining, and at very least leave that country in a bloody civil war on 9/11. I mean, there wasn't a political scientist or a military planner alive that didn't think the Taliban would at least challenge the government. So that's an extremely odd pullout date. I mean, I don't think he's consciously trying to make some point about American weakness or some such, but yeah, that was a tough one, and the idea, even had things work out, of course, would be that we'd be celebrating the end of the war. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd have to deal with what was going on with our allies. But in reality, of course, the worst case of two scenarios occurred, and so now we'll be looking at the other guys getting to celebrate on that day. So again, a tough thing for a lot of people to deal with.
Well, and as you say, our allies, the damage that this has done, I mean, you find out afterwards that he did not talk to the allies. I mean, even going into Afghanistan 20 years ago, this was the insistence that we had to, you know, set up our alliances, that make sure there was communication going into it, and then disengaging, and then you get to the point where, Boris Johnson is making several calls to the president, and he's not taking the call. I mean, it's just on a national leadership level altogether, it really compromised, who America is. And this is all brought to you by the President of the United States, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is something we've seen the mainstream U.S. media, which obviously leans to the left, really, really stretching to, quote-unquote, present both sides of this and talk to people that have been heroically evacuated, and parts of that Dunkirk-style evacuation were quite heroic and so on down the line. The reality, though, is that this is one of the biggest military disasters in recent history. We pulled out of Afghanistan in extremely uncoordinated fashion. I mean, we didn't do the usual, civilians out, the material out, then the troops out in perimeter fashion.
Right.
As a result of that, the country fell. We specifically refused to do things like keep Bagram Airfield, keep control of the city of Kabul when the Taliban offered it to us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the Brits have formally sanctioned us in Parliament, centered us, I believe would be their language, as a result of this. So there's no minimizing what this was. And as to your core point, yeah, I mean, the first time the NATO compact was ever fully invoked was as a result of 9/11. So, I mean, you had that British Air Force, which pound for pound may be the best in the world, overflying our cities. I mean, the Italians provided many of the vehicles that were used in Afghanistan. The Germans were there. So this wasn't just us. And when we pulled out, the issue was that many of our allies, perhaps they'd heard it threatened, but they hadn't known that this was going to happen on any kind of a schedule.
Exactly.
They were trying to evacuate their people.
Right. And then theirs was actually more of a Dunkirk moment than ours. Sadly, but, and what I'm hearing, Will, and this is semi off the record, I mean, because I heard this down a channel, that, we have Americans there acting outside of the government, which our government's not happy about. But they're there, under the military ethos that you will not leave any American behind. And they could care less about chain of command because they're not involved with the chain of command. They're doing this independently. And they're going there and extracting Americans. And what is being reported, and this is through back channels, this is not out in mainstream legacy media or anybody, is that the Taliban supposedly is removing people off the plane and killing them on the tarmac.
I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. I can confirm, by the way, that's happening. I mean, a close friend of mine is ex-Special Forces, and in heading to Afghanistan, there are entire groups like the Free Burma Rangers that are going into Afghanistan. I've actually been asked casually, is there any chance that you would come into the country? I'm not sure what I could contribute, but many people that have some sort of background, some kind of fighting skills, multiple language skills might be the plus there, are being asked to do this. That's a very real thing that's happening. There are veterans groups that are sending people over there. There even are large churches that are considering getting teams of former fighters associated with their religious organizations sending them in. The hope with this, of course, is that there is some kind of top-down organization, someone, a former colonel or something, kind of takes multiple groups in hand, so you don't just have people, flying in heavily armed on planes and, clashing
right
with the locals and so on. But, yes, there are many, many people that are specifically trying to evacuate the Afghan Christians or our former interpreters, so on down the line, and, Godspeed to them.
I'll tell you, in my travels, I may have mentioned this to you before, but, I've traveled from, in this last month, about a month and a half, traveling from Florida to Hawaii, and now I'm in California wrapping things up. As I go through the airport, because I'm identified as a former Marine, I wear a hat, and I cannot tell you how many military people have come to me, and if they're looking to recruit, I got to tell you, there are plenty of former Marines, military, and active duty, you could not participate in something like that. But if they went trolling just through the airports, you'd be surprised what kind of force you could put together. Because these guys all look in shape, and they're none too happy as they talk to me very emotionally about what's going on, Will. I mean, it's pretty pathetic, I'm telling you, on so many levels. We've got Dr. Wilford Riley, and we're going to continue our conversation with the professor of political science at Kentucky State University. Stay with us.
You could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it. You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. While the situation in Afghanistan remains dire, the Tide Ministry continues sharing the gospel through radio broadcast in the local Dari language. We praise God for leading us to spread the Tide Ministry into Afghanistan earlier this year so that we already had our broadcast situated when the current crisis began. It can be dangerous to respond, but listeners have reached out and shown a desire to hear more about Christ. One listener wrote, "Every Tuesday and Thursday, I'm waiting for the special program to listen about Jesus." As we continue praying for believers trapped there, as well as for those who have not yet found the Lord, we have the assurance that God is in control, and we have faith in His provision of life and hope for His people all around the world. To learn how you can pray for and encourage Dari-speaking people whose lives have been eternally impacted by hearing the good news of Christ in their own language, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern. And that would be 6 to 9 Pacific time. And we welcome even over the weekend. This show plays is replayed on many stations across the country. And just to let you know that you're welcome. It's good to have you here. For more information on the show, you can check us out at BillMartinezShow.com. Dr. Will Riley continues with us. He is the author of the book Taboo, you know, 10 Facts That You Can't Talk About. Will, last night we had the debut of the Black National Anthem at the first NFL game of the season.
Yeah, I mean, so there are two comments on that. First of all, the Black National Anthem isn't some radical new thing. It's something that's been referred to by that term jokingly in the black community for many years. Lift every voice and sing, as I recall, church and so on. What's unique about this moment is that we're now presenting this as sort of co-equal to the national anthem. Mm-hmm. So this is something that you'd normally hear on a few black celebrations, or as I said, in an African American church. They're not playing this at baseball and football games, and it seems a little bizarre. I mean, the Hispanic community is roughly the same size as the black community. There's no Hispanic American national anthem as of yet. Nothing for Asians, Jews, or anything like that. So you wonder how balkanized this will become. I mean, will we come up with something for everyone? I mean, that's actually the worst case scenario here. So we'll wait and see. I personally expect corporate wokeness to last about one more year. Mm-hmm. When I look at what a lot of investment consultants are saying. But in the meantime, we'll have to listen to more of this nonsense. The BS slogans are back on the jerseys I see this year also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as far as the reaction from the American people, it does not seem to, you know, pass the so what test. I mean, for some people that want to fuss about it, there's too many of us that are tired of fussing. We just want to get on with our lives. We just want to watch a game. You know, all the social activism, let's leave it where it should be, not on the fields of amusement and play and fun and things that really unite us, rooting for our team as opposed to, as you say, balkanizing us. I I'm like you. I hope that if we've got to endure, you know, a year of this, you know, fine. Let's move on because, you know, the bright point of it all. That was a good football game last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that corporate America is listening to Twitter way too much. I mean, that's hardly an original point. But of the people in the stands, who are a bunch of male ex-jocks, a few out with their girls, but probably 80% of them just fitting that description, almost none know the words to the Negro National Anthem or want to see players with jersey names reading Advanced Black Causes or something like that. I actually think the jerseys thing has potential. If players were allowed to actually say what they wanted, a la, you know, the old XFL, you know,
yes.
I'm going to humiliate the other team. You can have right-wing slogans like choose life. But that's not what you're doing. Corporate woke is always very closely monitored so people don't actually slip and tell the truth. So as I understand, I mean, there's a list of 5 or 6 slogans you could choose from, and they're all the most mundane possible things. I mean, there is Black Lives Matter, but one of them is something like choose opportunity. So it's not like you're actually going to see any fun expression here. You're just going to have this sort of very consistent center-left HR-approved message shoved down your throat. And I would agree, almost no one is into that in reality.
Exactly. Well, you tweeted out yesterday regarding, you know, traditional measured racism. You know, for example, you said refusal to hire or date across racial lines has declined. This number was incredible. 90% since the 1960s.
Yeah, well, the point I was making there, the tweet actually ends with something edgier than that. But what I said is that traditional racism, we're working on a paper right now, seems to be down between 85 and 96% across every measure. So, for example, if you ask people, you know, not necessarily is this for you, but do you approve of interracial dating? Should an Irish woman and Spanish guy be able to get married? The approval of that has increased from 4% in, I believe, 1956 to 94% today, if I have that correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, almost no one now objects to that. And by the way, that definition of interracial an Irish and Italian or Christian and Jewish marriage wouldn't even count as interracial across group life. So in reality, 98% probably of people are are cool with leaving their group for a marriage or for their best friend, this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So when you actually look at these empirical measurements, as a boss, would you hire a well-qualified black or Asian executive, not just worker? There's been a dramatic change in the country. We were by no means the most racist country in the world, even by the late 1960s, mm-hmm. but that has decreased 80-90%. So what I said is that when people talk about extreme racism today, what you're almost invariably seeing is radical redefinition of the term,
yes,
in an attempt to make a political point or to chase after money. But you're seeing people talk about sort of microaggressions, quote unquote. An example would be asking a pretty Asian girl, "Where are you from?"
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is just the residue that's left when all the actual racism is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, the total number of interracial murders last year, blacks and whites, was like 800 and 400 million people. So that's what you're actually dealing with. And the question is, how can we stop sort of the sideshow of people focusing on this residual and presenting it as the worst problem in the world?
Exactly. Well, I think, you know, like what you said earlier, I think it's fighting its way out. It's just it's exhausting. There's little redemption in all this, especially when it's not true, you know. And so people go, well, gosh, I got friends. I mean, I got blacks and white friends. I'm black and white friends, married. And I remember as a kid when it first started happening, you know, oh my gosh, the shock of, you know, mixed marriages and that sort of thing. And Hispanics were, you know, part of that. And you know, and now today, and like you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago, this is so accepted, and all these advances that have been made, and it's like we're scratching an itch that's not there, you know. And to what end? And you're exactly right. You know, it's all about cash. It's all political points. It's all this woke society that's punching itself out, thank God, because people are going, well, that doesn't make sense. I'm just going to move on, and I'm going to go have breakfast and have a cup of coffee with my black friend or my Hispanic friend, you know.
Well, I think you hit on something very important there, actually, which is the big disconnect between almost all of this woke stuff and reality. So when people on forums like Twitter or Instagram are talking about the incredible rate of police murders in the U.S., and remember, again, as we've both pointed out, for unarmed black men, that's like 10 a year. For, you know, unarmed males across all races, maybe 60. But, I mean, when people are talking about things like this, or they're talking about, you know, this, now it's the epidemic of childhood COVID deaths, or, you know, all this racial stuff, the microaggressions you face as a black woman just shopping, I think that the average ordinary person, if you ask them how they rate the police in their community, mm-hmm. would have had almost no such experiences, and that's what the data show. Mm-hmm. The only question really is, do people believe that out there beyond their own suburb or their own small town, this stuff really is happening, that the police in Atlanta, a middle-class black city, are murdering people? I think a lot of people did for a while, but when story after story after story just kept collapsing, mm-hmm. now a lot more people, if you read a comment section or something like that, are very skeptical. People are starting to see maybe the emperor has no clothes here.
Exactly.
We all mm-hmm. are getting along pretty well.
Exactly. And that dovetails with the entire narrative that has influenced our perception and how we've reacted to, you know, COVID. And now we've got mandated vaccinations that are going on, Dr. Riley.
Yeah. I mean, I actually don't want to preface this with all these sort of warnings that everyone on the center right does. Like, I am pro-vaccine. But, I mean, the point is that what Joe Biden did sounds openly illegal. I mean,
yes.
I haven't been in legal practice really since getting out of law school, but the Department of Labor almost certainly can't use the guise of regulatory law to tell businesses to do any damn thing that it wants. I mean, the mm-hmm. idea that you can mandate that an employer pay to vaccinate all their employees if they have more than 100, I mean, I can't imagine that won't be challenged in the courts.
Oh, you
but
know
I
it is,
what,
yeah.
Yeah, it'll be next week. Kimberly Herman from Southeast Legal Center is a friend of mine, is actually planning on bringing that case. I'm
exactly.
Sure, many, many others.
Got to leave it there, Dr. Riley. We're out of time. Thank you for being with us. Dr. Wilfred Riley right here.
New surveys show that Americans don't think vaccines are enough to protect themselves and others from COVID-19. 80% want thermometers used in public places to screen for COVID-19. 36% know that non-contact devices are inaccurate. And 60% would not recommend that friends or family members enter places that screen with them. To be safe, use Exergen at home, at work, and in public. It's the only thermometer proven accurate by more than 100 published clinical studies. Learn more at Exergen.com.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As America somberly remembers 9/11 this weekend, Vice President Mike Pence on Fox News Friday weighs in on the current administration's Afghanistan withdrawal failure.
It dishonored the memory of all of those who served and sacrificed defending our freedom over the last 20 years. And it also set aside the deal that President Trump and our administration had negotiated with the Taliban. Remember, I was in the Oval Office when the president spoke to Mullah Baradar right after we did the deal. And he said to him, we all want to end the violence, but you're not going to harm any Americans, you're not going to become a haven for terrorists, and you're going to work with the Afghan government. Or the president said, if you break the deal, we're going to hit you harder than we have ever hit you before. And you could tell from the tone on the other end of the call that Mullah Baradar knew he meant business.
USA Radio News.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Avian Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
With you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on the show, BillMartinezShow.com. Our gratefulness to Dr. Wilfred Riley. It's always great to have his balanced approach. I just so appreciate his intellect and his contribution to the conversation. Really balances things out, especially when we talk about issues of racism and those ten facts you're not supposed to talk about, which is interesting. And of course, we just keep adding to that list. And Albert Norton joins us now. His latest book is Dangerous God, A Defense of Transcendent Truth. He's an attorney and award-winning author. Albert, welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. Glad to be here.
And well, you say, don't be misled. That phrase, critical race theory, is easily defined. You know, it seems like people like to say, oh, there's nuance and it's so complex. But there's an intentional objective behind critical race theory, isn't there?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's one piece of an attempt to really put onto us a whole different way of looking at everything. I mean, I've said before that it's an essentially Marxist thing because that's the idea. You divide on the basis of this paradigm that everything about your identity is associated with, in this case, your ethnicity.
Exactly.
So it's not the proletariat versus the capitalists. Instead, it's white versus black versus Hispanic, etc.
Exactly. Well, nothing new under the sun, and this is the exact playbook, Marxist playbook. So why are we surprised?
Right. Yeah. It's you can play it all out. People You know, what I've seen, talking about critical race theory, people are so desirous of having reconciliation between races, and, you know, there's all the turmoil, and what can we do to, you know, to cool the temperature on these kinds of discussions, and so this seems like the next thing. So people mm-hmm. wander into this out of a sense of goodwill and a well-placed desire to fix things.
Yeah.
But you know, you don't fix. In my view, you don't fix the problems of genuine racism, because it's certainly out there, by imposing additional racism and separating people from each other.
Right. Well, if you venture into an emotionalized topic like this with pure emotion, you're going to get your head handed to you if you're on the wrong side, because you need to be empowered with the facts. This is why we appreciated what Dr. Riley shared with us earlier, and that is, you know, the actual traditional measured racism, like refusal to hire or date across racial lines is what he tweeted about, has actually declined since the 1960s. You know, 90%. This is the kind of decline you see. And I think that what's happening is the reality of that number. You know, you sit there and say, well, you know, you got all these, you know, poor blacks, and, you know, they want to really drum that up again. It's like 1964 and LBJ one more time. Let's talk about all the poor blacks. And then you go, you know, and you have that discussion. You say, well, what about people? What about all these entertainers that are making bazillions of dollars? What about LeBron James? What about a former president of the United States? I mean, you know, can we talk about that? You know, you say, well, you know, we're in this era of that we must believe the science. Well, part of the science is you know, a true study of facts, you know, scientific measurement, traditional scientific measurement, you know, but that's out all the it's out the door because it's been so emotionalized, right?
Absolutely. Of course, somebody could come back on that and say, well, yeah, but look, there's still all these disparities by various social measures. And it's true, there are. Mm-hmm. And some of those are the result of racism in the past, even if we've done a pretty good job up to the moment, that is, mm-hmm. With respect to not eradicating racism, certainly, but giving people an equal start, being on the same, you know, being on a level yeah. playing field, so to speak.
Well, yeah.
But that's not all that's going on here. I mean, what's really being pushed, we're getting, you know, people say all the time, at least certainly people who are more conservative, say, what about the vision of Martin Luther King Jr.? That is true.
Mm. Right.
Because that vision was based on a sense of objective truth. You know, there's, we want an equal opportunity, not to start with the disparities that exist and try to address those solely through the prism of race.
Mm-hmm.
But that's getting away from the idea of what's objectively true, like you point out. Mm-hmm. About the improvements with respect to racism.
And here we are on a trajectory where we have been improving. You would think that you would want to exacerbate more of the same. And what this is doing is, you know, and it's interesting because the left will claim that conservatives in any argument that doesn't go along with their, you know, particular purview and perception that, oh, you're taking us back, when in all actuality, what they're doing is trying to bend the curve in the wrong direction, because what they're doing here with this argument isn't promoting goodwill. I mean, you know, yes, we talk about Martin Luther King and his infamous statement, but how about our U.S. Constitution that says all men are created equal? And that we have, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, well, what it's doing is it's not crediting the other side of the debate, that is the right side of the debate, left versus right, with good faith,
mm-hmm.
with a desire to actually do something positive. In the lives, well, I should say, enact policies that will result in positive changes in the lives of people. So if we have a problem with crime, let's address crime, not mm-hmm. look at it through trying to bring equity in the rate of criminal prosecutions on the basis of race. If we have a problem with, let's say, illiteracy, let's not go at it through race. Let's teach people to read.
Yes.
You know, if we have a problem with families are not intact, let's reexamine the policies that we have that support the, you know, solid families, as opposed to addressing it as if it's purely a race problem, because it's not.
Yes. Well, and what happens, we start spending a lot of resources you know, in a sense, I mean, you've got the real problem. It's that old saying, Albert Norton, that right observation, wrong conclusion, and wrong solution here. Because, as you say, when you are prejudicing the solution, that never works well. I mean, let's go back in history and see how many times we've done that. And this is the danger of when things are emotionalized. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have emotion. It's to have it. Let's exercise. Let's talk about this stuff. Let's reason together. But at the end of the day, let's find some balance that, you know, truly comes to the right solution that takes, what we've done. You know, the aspiration of our founders is that we would move toward a more perfect union. That's not claiming that we are. It's aspirational. It's an objective. And so to that end, all these things, when they come up, we should ask ourselves, does this add to or take away from the objective of a more perfect union? And if you ask that question, that's non-racial, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with being passionate about your point of view, but there is something wrong with going straight to the ad hominem attack. Mm-hmm. You're saying that because you don't like people of another race. That's just not the right way to approach things. We may just have a disagreement about what's the best way forward as a society, that is, to achieve a more perfect union, just as you say.
Right. I think that where we are right now is a dark place because we've been so bifurcated, and we're not communicating, we're not connecting, and this is at a grave expense, right?
Yeah, and you're touching on exactly the thing that really is more concern to me than the immediate issue of, well, critical race theory, what is it really and is it bad, and all the other issues that create so much turmoil right now. I think we're talking right past each other, and this is what I try to get out of my book. Mm-hmm. I think we need to go meta, if you will. We need to go to another level of understanding here, and it has to do with truth. And that's why I like the verbiage I see on your website about, you know, we're trying to get at the truth behind the issues of the day. So truth, it's not just what is true, but what is truth? What is the nature of it? We really need to ask that question and try to come to some understanding.
Yeah, and it's been dangerous that this culture has bought in, I think out of convenience and out of the idea that they could have it their way, that truth is relative. It really, that to me is such a dangerous slope, because then that accommodates their idea to such an extent that it's not the truth anymore. It ends up becoming a lie, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. That's the concern.
Albert Norton is with us. He's the attorney and award-winning author, and our conversation will continue. And, yes, we'll open up his book a little bit, because I found his book to be more than fascinating. It's quite enlightening. Dangerous God, A Defense of Transcendent Truth. Stay with us.
I'm looking forward to a play date with my granddaughter.
Nana!
I can't wait to get together with my friends for a backyard barbecue.
If you're 65 or older, you're starting to get back to doing things you love. Did you know even healthy adults 65 and older are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia? It's a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. Help protect yourself with the Prevnar 13 pneumococcal 13 valent conjugate vaccine, diphtheria CRM 197 protein. Prevnar 13 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 13 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 13 does not protect against all strains of the disease. Ask your doctor or pharmacist today about Prevnar 13. Learn more at Prevnar13.com. Don't get Prevnar 13 if you have had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with a weakened immune system may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-866-694-9300 or visit Prevnar13.com.
If you thought you missed the lowest mortgage rates in history, you're in luck, because they're back. Mortgage rates are near historic lows again. So if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital Funding is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 1.75% with a 1.94 APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 1.75% with a 1.94 APR. Now, second chances don't come often, and you may never see these rates again. So, refinance it and forget it. forget it. That's a 15-year fixed at 1.75%. Yes, 1.75% with a 1.94 APR. Call the experts at Network Capital now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the Financing Law. Number 603-D-787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available to rate lock. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com. Welcome back. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. As always, it is an absolute honor and pleasure to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. For more info on our show, go to BillMartinezShow.com. It's all right there, including an incredible archive of guests, just like Albert Norton Jr., who is here on the show. And we're always, you know, just blessed to have him here with his insight. And you know, this is the caliber of the talent that we have on the show that we bring to you to enlarge you and make you better. I mean, hopefully, at the end of the day or at the end of any interview, you say, wow, you know, I'm glad I tuned in, that I'm all the better for what was shared on the show. That is truly our objective. Albert Norton Jr. is a writer and attorney, and he is the author of the book Dangerous God, A Defense of Transcendent Truth. Albert, I want to give some time on this, because the last time we talked, we touched on the book a little bit, but I want to get and go into a deeper dive here in this book. And first of all, the idea behind it and your motivation to share this with us.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm looking out on the issues of the day, and I'm realizing, you know, that there's really two different ways of thinking, maybe more than two, but primarily two different ways of thinking about why we say something is true or not true. Mm-hmm. So I'm really trying to understand philosophically what does it mean to be true? So not whether something is true, but what does it mean to be true? Because we see the meta-narratives in the kinds of political ideas, cultural ideas like the ones we talked about before the break, mm-hmm. and it's the meta-narrative that creates the truth. Or it's an existentialist perspective where you say, well, the truth is my truth. It's what I originate inside of myself to give meaning and purpose to life. And that's a problem because really from the dawn of man, the way to think about truth has been truth is objective. It's out there to be discovered, not in here to be created.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about this, you know, and I realized, reading through history, I read a ton of history and the history of philosophy in particular, mm-hmm. and came to an understanding that that idea that truth corresponds to reality has really kind of softened and become mushy starting, I would say, around the turn of the 20th century, more or less. I mean, mm-hmm. it's continuous, so that's just a marker.
Mm-hmm.
And it became, we start looking at pragmatism. So the idea is, in pragmatism, what will accomplish the ends that we want? This is the criticism that the ends justify the means. We're trying to get to a certain place. What will get there? And action, a truth is formed in action is the idea behind that. So the object of what you want to accomplish takes over for what truth is, and it drives your determination of truth instead of truth driving your determination of what's real.
Exactly. Yeah,
I think that's the symptom. That's the disease that we see in all of these kinds of issues that we talk about.
And it can be such a fine line, can't it, Albert?
Well, it can be a fine line in particular because how we get there is a very gradual thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, people didn't wake up one morning and say, you know what, truth is not out there for me to walk outside and discover and declare that this is true. I see it. This follows that. Those things are true. Now, we didn't wake up one morning and dispense with that and say, you know what, truth from now on is whatever I feel.
Yes.
It's been this very gradual thing. And we have bought into this existential idea that truth is sort of internalized, but then, and this is where we are today, then we take that notion, that's moral relativism, that's the idea that it's my truth.
Mm-hmm.
We take that idea and then we superimpose on it one thing that we can all agree on as the ultimate value.
Yeah.
You might read René Girard, for example, to understand this concept.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate value is inclusiveness and open-mindedness and the idea that you don't make prejudgments about people. Well, that's certainly a value. It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I'm not saying that shouldn't be a value, but it's not the ultimate value.
Exactly.
The ultimate value is truth. Mm-hmm. What is truth? That's why in my book, I have a chapter asking the question, what is truth?
Mm-hmm.
And I start with Pontius Pilate asking
exactly.
that question. Because I think if you read that whole story again, he is actually opening up this exact philosophical question. It's not just kind of a cynical, you know, shrug the shoulders at what is truth. Mm-hmm. It's deeper than that. And when you start reading it carefully, you see that, Pontius Pilate is getting away from the idea of objective truth right there, and it's a recurring thing in history, and it's gotten bad today.
Exactly. The fact that he even asked that question is quite revealing. People, you know, miss that continuously, and that's one of my favorite conversations, because here he is. He's standing before the author of truth. And he's
and he
kind of puts it out there to say, what is truth like? It's a fait accompli. It's like, why should I even bother, right?
And so
it leads you to believe that he's pondered this question, that this wasn't something new, that there was some weight behind, and I'm talking about a mental consternation of weight that was behind that question, don't you think?
Oh, very likely that he was under the pressure of the day, but, you know, the ambitions that he had and the concern for his own safety given the milieu that he was in. And mm-hmm. so the pressure caused him although he's thinking about it, seemed to be a thoughtful man, but he's saying this. And he's also not ignorant of the fact that Jesus is presented to him at that point as the embodiment of truth. So that would obviously prompt some thought about, well, what is truth?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. With both Jesus, and of course there were accusers of Jesus, but Jesus was a Jew, the accusers of Jesus were Jews. All of the Jews believed in they believed in God as the mm-hmm. author of objective truth, and they believed in objective truth. There was no question in their minds, both Jesus and his accusers, that truth is an objective thing out there to discover, not something that we're going to create here. Pontius Pilate is the one that's asking the question and deviating from that paradigm.
Without a doubt, and at what grave expense? Because here we are, and the other thing that comes to mind on this, Albert Norton, is that here he is. He's a man that is matured in his career. He's probably, you know, coming to the twilight of his life, and he's asking this question based on his experiences, and this question might be asked in a different way depending on what stage of life you're in, right?
Yeah, I think. I mean, this seems like a sad way to say it, but I think if we're under pressure to censor ourselves and not live by truth and to be tempted into living by lies, we're kind of putting ourselves in Pontius Pilate's position.
Really, yes.
And we don't want to make the decision he made.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I guess that's the short and hopefully helpful conclusion that we come to this. And you and I, who have experienced enough of life and have pursued the truth, have come to the conclusion that absolute truth does exist. And that's our caution to those of you who, depending in whatever stage of life that you're in. And it's like one of those things when you look back and you go, why didn't I know this sooner? Why did I buy in, you know, growing up in the 60s and 70s where, you know, love the one you're with and have it your way and all this stuff. We were conditioned to buy into this relative truth. And arguments that I've had over the years, I won't even say discussions, there were arguments that we had with people about your truth and my truth and relevant truth and that sort of thing. And my conclusion that I came finally to, Albert, is that, you know, truth is, in much the same way that the law of gravity is. Yes. Go ahead and test it and find out. And, you know, and that's, in a sense, is what we do. And we do that with a very pernicious and dangerous potential outcome. And we say this just by experience because, you know, we don't want you to go up on the roof and fall off and break a leg or something worse. Trust us. We've already gone through that exercise, but maybe you have to, you know, to realize, truth is personal. And this is, you know, part of your discovery. But we're hoping that you don't have to go through and make the same mistakes as we did. But, you know, maybe that's the rite of passage, I guess.
Yes, exactly. We have to understand the big question behind the little questions.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, that is so good. You know, because what I've come to ask here recently, when people ask me a question, and it stops them, and I'll say, why do you want to know?
Yeah, that's good.
You know,
do you want to know as fodder to put into your narrative and shape it so that to something that we're all now going to say is the consensus, even though it's not a real consensus?
Exactly.
Or are you with me on a journey to find the objective truth? And we may disagree on our path to getting there, and we may talk about it, we may have a heated exchange, but we're both looking to the same object, which is a truth that's out there to be discovered.
Well, I'll tell you, what great words here, Albert Norton. I mean, are you with me on this journey of truth? Because at the end of it all, you know, we are going to be in front of an almighty God, and I've imagined this, that we're not going to be able to have much of a debate. It's like we are going to be, so close to all-knowing and all-truth, an all-knowing and all-truthful God, that it will be inarguable. I imagine this, you know. This is just me. Go ahead.
On that day, nobody's going to question it. It won't be like Jesus before Pontius Pilate at all.
The award-winning author of his book, Dangerous God, The Defense of Transcendent Truth, Albert Norton, has been with us. Albert, thank you. God bless you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination.